In this episode of What the Prophets Say, join me, Emma Stark, and Louise Reed, as we have perhaps one of our most detailed journeys of conversation together into secure attachment with Jesus. In other words, how do you get well? And you know you need to. Join us for this episode. Hello, beautiful humans of the world. It's Emma Stark, and we're doing another episode of What the Prophets Say. You are joining us as Louise Reed and I sit live in our home studio in Glasgow in Scotland. How are you today, Louise?
I'm good. I'm enjoying this.
Let me put you on the spot.
Yes.
What's the best thing about being Louise Reed right now?
Do you know what? It's a funny thing, but I had thoughts about this morning. When I woke up.
How interesting.
Yeah, I did.
I must be prophetic.
You must be, because you know what? There is just something glorious about being the fullness of who you are and knowing that it's an ever expanding thing and being so delighted that I don't have to be anybody else and nobody else has to be me. Hallelujah. But the job is taken. And what do I love the most? I, at the moment, you're going to get a long sermon now. You'd be sorry
I
asked.
No, go for it. I'm glad I asked.
I am loving the freedom of experimentation, of being with God. And at this phase of my life, I'm not put off by much.
Yes.
I'm so drawn into Him and I am living my best life with Him. And it is a brilliant, I'm just so enjoying that. I'm so enjoying the freedom. And He's been talking to me recently about some stuff about anointings that He's given me and that are mine. And instead of, there's never any sense of comparison with anybody else. It's just, that's mine. And I am going to be that and live in that to the fullest measure that I possibly can. And there is a place of joy.
Now, I didn't know you were going to give that answer. You could have given me any answer, but I'm fascinated that you link there the sense of creative freedom and joy and the playfulness in the new things of God to a security piece of I'm content with who He has made me to be, and the contentment of I only have to be me. You alluded to the fact that that opens this creative play space.
Yeah. Now, can we just go there on the word contentment? Often when we think about being content with something, it's like, well, I've come to terms with something. I'm content in that I'm settled in something.
You mean I've accepted myself, warts and all?
That kind of way. I don't feel that at all.
Okay.
My sense of contentment is expansion, is brilliance. I had received a prophetic word that said that what in the future, in the next phase, some of the things that I will be doing, which I know what they are.
Yeah.
And the word of the Lord was, and you will do it brilliantly.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? I feel like I've come into a phase of my life where I am so thrilled to be me. And that
is beautiful.
Oh, can I tell you? And anybody can have that. In fact, if you're listening to this right now, which you are, you can be brilliant at who you are. And God is calling you to brilliance. He's calling all of us to be brilliant, but not in the sense of our own brilliance. It's the image of God in us and who He is bringing us into being, which is transformation into the likeness of His Son. Jesus was brilliant in everything He did and everywhere He turned up and in the beauty of His character. And I am walking into that with a great sense of joy, peace, playfulness. And yeah, just enjoying that.
It's interesting, again, your phraseology around that seemed to pivot on the back of a prophetic word, that a seed word of God was sown in you.
Yes.
And you, or it was the phrase, and you will be brilliant at it. Giving this sense of God setting into you a truth, a revelation, a prophetic word, an utterance that has held you. Now, I know you to be a woman who is diligent with deeper healing journeys. And in fact, Louise Reed, probably more than anybody else I've ever known, because of the rigorous, because you are a practitioner of a program of wellness and you are a coach and you take clients, you by nature of sitting in that senior place, submit yourself to ongoing debriefing and sessions so that you're the best version of yourself to give wellness. So I know you sit in rhythms of wellness, but it's interesting to me that it was a prophetic word that flicked something.
It did. But can I tell you, there's no coaching session that I want. In coaching sessions, miraculous things happen. But it's the revelation of him in me, him around me, being one with him and all of that that takes you in. And it's not just a revelation of a nice thought, but it's a reality that I can wake up with in the morning, that I can go to bed with at night. And I think this phase of life, I'm allowing myself the freedom, the permission to live like that, because that is living my best life.
Very good.
And it's not in the sense of like, oh, you know, I've got a nice life. It's not about that. It's about being the best, being brilliant within that life.
Whatever life is throwing at you.
Whatever life throws at me. Because it's not all easy. And actually, this is probably quite a tough phase of life for myself and my husband, in that it's a reshaping time of life. But so, and sometimes in those times, God is giving gifts of what he wants to give on the inside so that you can, when you're moving into the next stage on the outside, you have all of that wealth within to be able to sustain and build on the outside for the next phase.
So if you're giving a top tip from that, what would our loyal listeners take away as a prayer point that they could anchor themselves in, or a thought point that they could meditate on from where you have got content in the brilliance of God in you and through you? What would be their homework to get there?
That is a great question. There's a couple of things that flash through my mind. I'll just go for the strongest. And that is, this is a life with Jesus that is beyond measure. And I'm every day looking, oh God, give me the bit, give me more today. Limitless kingdom.
That would be the prayer
point. It's the prayer point of God. Yeah. You've done it all and it's all available. So today I'm asking, I'm walking into it in the mindset and I'm asking, give me more of you today. It is a hunger. And there also is a little bit of bold expectation there as well.
So the thought is a thought of bold expectation, but the prayer is give me more of you today.
More. Yeah.
That has made you even more secure in who he's called you to be and who you are.
Oh, it's and so incredibly freeing.
Very good.
I never want to have a day in my life where I feel less about myself or my God.
Now, you see, because faith and that expectation always delights him. You're straight into Hebrews, the great hall of faith in Hebrews 11. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. So you are pleasing God, coming with the faith-fueled expectation that he will transcend to give you more of him, which is always more brilliance, because he is.
Yeah. I expect now, it's a journey, but I expect to walk into every situation and be a blessing. Now, this isn't something where I'm going,
Hang on a minute, that is very healed, because most folk I know don't expect to walk into a room to be a blessing. A lot of folk walk into a room with an anxiety or a nervousness.
That I won't be enough.
I won't be enough. I'm worthy of rejection. Yeah. I'm not going to make the grade. I'm worthy of being demeaned or overlooked or belittled. But to walk into a room with the personal biblical belief of I can be a blessing, or I will be a blessing.
And I am a blessing.
Ooh.
I am a blessing.
Can I just say, you're not saying that with ego here.
No, not
at all. That's not the receive from me, the woman of God.
Here I am.
No, it's not the tone. Absolutely not. It's not the tonality of what you're expressing.
Because I can sit in a situation, and I have even, I'm just thinking in the last 10 days, sitting in a situation where I was being utterly shut down. There was a high level of rejection in the room. Mm-hmm. And I sat there with this feeling on the inside, this sense mm-hmm. of like burning light on the inside. Because as I sat there, I knew I am a blessing. Even though I'm not being received that way, that doesn't change who I am.
Now, let's sit in that, because most of us, an awful lot of our lives, sit in, shall we call them, politely semi-hostile places.
Yeah.
That maybe the person, when I say semi-hostile, they don't even know that they are achieving that in the room of shutdown or rejection. Some people are deliberately rude. But there's a sense of their own insecurities spilling out, if we're being ultra polite about it. Yeah. So their own insecurities spill out. And you feel the wave against you.
Yeah, yeah.
But you're saying in that space, which is most of our realities, you felt like you had a burning light inside.
Yeah, absolutely.
Of?
The presence. I mean, I could literally feel my oneness with the Lord. And actually, he was highly amused.
So you had a spiritual awareness?
Oh, very much so.
Of your fusing with God?
Oh, completely.
So you're in 1 Corinthians 6, 17.
Yeah.
He who unites himself with the Lord is one with him in spirit. So you felt that?
I feel it most of the time.
In medication to hostility?
Well, I would go further than that, because it does medicate hostility.
Yeah.
But it's my living reality, whatever situation I am in. I mean, I'm a work in progress. I want to be a lot wiser. Mm-hmm. I would love to be a lot sharper. There's lots of things that I would love to grow in. But I have this baseline of I'm fused with him. I am one with him. I mean, when I think about, if we talked further about this, I would just start to cry, because it's this is the greatest gift. This is my salvation. This is my reality, that I am one with him. Nobody, nothing on this earth can ever change that or take that away from
me. You're living Romans 8, neither height nor depth or breadth,
nothing
can separate me from neither death nor life.
The only thing that can ever try to separate me is when I lose the consciousness of it. And when I lose the consciousness of it, one of my biggest learns, I would say, in the last decade, is that when I lose the consciousness of the fullness of him and the fused being in him, like that, I turn. It's only a split second of a turn back to him.
And then you...
And it's actually a remembrance. I'm in him.
And then everything else floods back in.
And I'm with... Now, can I just say, look, I have a massive journey to go in terms of what that looks like on the outside. And to be... I am a blessing, but I want to be a blessing. I want to be much wiser, more mature, etc., etc. But, you know, it's got to come from somewhere, and it's not going to come from striving to be wise or striving to be sharp. It's going to come from my fusion, my oneness, my fellowship with him who fills me in every way.
Now, let me ask for some practical steps, because you're talking about an awareness very definitely in a space, in a place, that you had an awareness of that fused oneness.
Yeah.
His word over you, the report of the Lord. I'm slightly adding to what you said, but you're talking about an awareness that in a split second, if you lose that, then you're many stages back into panic, fear, overwhelm. Am I liked? Am I enough? How am I going to get through this? Yeah. Can I break through? Will they receive me? All of that stuff. So give our listeners some practical awareness steps of how do I sit and practice awareness of that.
Well, part of it is knowing scripture. He is with me always.
Uh-huh. Okay.
And our 1 Corinthians scripture that, you know, I am fused with him. We're in other scriptures. My life is hidden with Christ in God. So yeah. There is partly is what I have learnt and what I know to be true. So there's something deliberate and intentional about that.
What we would call the scriptural Emmanuel promise, meaning God with us.
Yeah.
And lo, I am with you always. Even to the very end of the age.
Yeah.
So, and I'm quoting scripture there. So you're able to quote the constant proximity of God even to the very end of the age. I'm just going to make sure my scripture reference is right on that. But lo, I am with you even to the very end of the age is what meditated on so that you are aware of constant proximity.
And one major thing, and quite often people don't understand this, we seem to have this idea that it's when we came to faith that he was suddenly with us. Go and meditate on Psalm 139. He has known me. And
where can I go
with,
from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence?
I mean, he knit me together in my mother's womb. He saw my unformed body. Mm-hmm. You know, all of us, these are fabulous revelations of he's been before us, behind us, around us, all of our lives.
You're talking about, because I really want to be practical here, a meditation on some scriptures. Yeah. And that was obviously the Great Commission, Matthew 28:20.
Hebrews 13:5.
Yeah, and surely I am with you always, even to the very end of the age. So, but you're quoting, I've actually not, it used to be in my childhood, quoted all of the time. Maybe it was, you know, the children's ministries that I grew up with, Psalm 139. Yeah. But to be fair, I've not heard anybody sit in it for a long time recently. I used to know most of it off by
often, and I love the different versions of it. And that, as a practical thing, is really worth, if you sit in Psalm 139 and sit with the awareness of the Lord with you.
Yeah.
And learn to become aware. That's a learning point. It's a very practical thing.
So it's a meditation and it's a learning. Let me just read some of this to see what you sat in as meditation. Mm-hmm. So we're in Psalm 139, verse 1. You have searched me, Lord, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Mm-hmm. Verse 4. Before a word is on my tongue, you, Lord, know it completely. You hem me in behind and before, and you lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Verse 7. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast.
Yeah.
And then it goes on, you knit me together, my mother's womb, the I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Scriptures that's used in the... some of the abortion lobby. I do think that at one point I probably had the whole thing memorized.
I'm sure you did.
But years sometimes erode its recall.
Or else it's in a different version.
Yes. But so you sat in that as your number one step.
Well, it's one of those, but you know.
And then you moved into awareness.
Awareness.
I'm going to push you into practical.
I'm just flicking something up on my phone here so that I get this right.
Yeah. So you sat in reflective meditation of proximity scriptures.
Yes.
And I am with you scriptures.
Yeah, that's it. Because if you know that is true, if you sit in that and meditate, it starts to become your reality because then you have an expectation, this is true. And then happens is when I'm in any scenario, when I look for him, i.e. Jesus, I know you're with me, because Bible says
I've meditated on it. Yes.
I believe it. But where are you with me right now?
Okay.
So I have the inner sense of I'm fused with him, my life is hidden with Christ in God, all of that. Mm-hmm. But that's not necessarily very helpful when I'm in a situation where there's a problem.
Yeah.
But we need to be able to be in this position. And this is about secure attachment with him, who is...
Now, see, that's interesting. So you move from meditation to secure attachment.
The awareness of making myself aware so that when I look for him in a situation, yeah. So I'm sitting at a table having an awkward conversation, but I know he's with me. Okay, Louise, so where is he? So I just look for him. Mm-hmm. He's much to my right or he's to my left or whatever he is doing. Mm-hmm. And then this becomes easier because the more I look for him, the more I find him, the mm-hmm. more I am aware.
But that is scripture. The more I seek you, the more I find
you. Exactly. So this then becomes habitual.
Yes, let me just pull up that reference.
So then it becomes a living reality because... The truth is, when we look for him, we can always find him. And sometimes mm-hmm. it does feel like he's hiding in plain sight,
yes.
but he is always there. And we've got to discipline ourselves instead of going down a rabbit trail of being yep. more aware of a difficulty or a challenge, but I want to be, my greatest awareness is his presence with me.
Okay.
So when I look for him, I can find him. And that's secure attachment. The other thing is...
So this is the Jeremiah 29,
that's Jeremiah,
13.
Yeah. You can go to that scripture.
Seek God with all their heart, find him, which then we know as a, I think as a Carrie Job song, the more I seek you, the more I find you. But it's out of Jeremiah 29, 13, the promise of God.
Yeah.
Can we go back? Can we just sit in secure attachments?
Yeah.
And so you and I have both done a fair amount of... deeper healing, and let's talk about the number of times that we watch people in pain and in suffering spontaneously, almost without provocation, find themselves in a birthing moment or a memory of in and around birthing, or bizarrely and very frequently you'll say, let the Spirit of God take you back to a painful memory. Let the Spirit of God lead you, because we're Spirit led. And they surprisingly say often, I'm in the womb, I'm in the womb. And then they get this whole panic. They don't realize it's a very normal thing for us to hear as practitioners of wellness. But very often in that, there is a sense of a wrong attachment. I'm attached to a parent that's doing me harm.
Yeah.
I'm attached to something that does not love me, want me, and my attachment is not, in your phrase there, a secure attachment. Yeah. And very often, how many times have we done this? Literally hundreds. The detaching from the unsecure attachment into a secure attachment, you're trying to get them attached to Father God, really, or Jesus in that particular...
The Godhead.
The Godhead in some way. Now, you and I have chatted before, but not for a while, about watching some of our secular practitioners use animals, which I just want to scream a little bit about in irritation, because people are detaching from unsecure attachments into, well, I like that animal. But the point of it is we are wired for attachments.
We are, absolutely.
And wired for secure attachments. Yeah. But in an in the lack of a secure attachment, we will find a ropey, painful, or even harmful attachment.
Yeah.
So many of us listening will have got a problematic attachment.
Yes.
An insecure attachment, a destructive attachment, or say the word soul tie, but a bonding with somebody that we know is not good for us, that is feeding us the opposite of what you expressed you feel walking into a room.
Yeah. Or
that they don't know how to go. I break that insecure or failed attachment to attach myself to the Godhead in a secure attachment, which then in a secure attachment, and don't do it to an animal, you then receive, you then receive what God has versus receiving the insecurity and pain of an insecure attachment.
Completely. The other thing is that sometimes you find that it's almost like people have no attachment, because they are in such a state of abandonment and spinning.
Yeah.
So what that often looks like is in adult life, a scenario of literally being just so spinning, disorientated, and unable to make even proper friendship stuff, because they just simply can't attach because they have no secure attachment. So but this
I'm going to just keep going. So if we were to define that lack of attachment, so as you listen, some of you'll be going, oh my, Jesus, help. I've got some insecure or some awful attachments. But some of you will be saying, give me some context or definition to abandonment with zero attachment. That is a lot of numbness.
And often a very much an attachment to ourselves because we are the only person that we can trust.
And that gives you some interesting dynamics because we've dealt with this enough where if you're attached to yourself and self-protection, you often have a very odd connection with food because you're looking for what secures you, whether that's overeating or undereating, but you're looking for security and nourishment, which you should get from friendships and from God, secure divine touches. So you're saying that you've meditated on the scripture and then you are securing yourself in an attachment.
Yeah.
Give us some practical tips.
Oh gosh. Well, when I look for him, whatever that might, perceiving his presence with me, because can I just say, in my view, every ill and difficulty we have in life is because of those areas of our lives being detached from him. So we may majorly be attached to Jesus. He may have all of our lives in theory and in practice, he may have 70% of our lives, our thoughts, our ways, et cetera, et cetera. But every ill that I experience in my inner world is where those parts of me are unhealed and are not securely attached to him. So in a sense, the journey of our lives is being reattached to him, fused with him. Mm-hmm. And of course, we have that by the blood of Jesus and the invitation. So it's theoretically, but we have to appropriate that. Mm-hmm. So those are big words. But in terms of the practicalities,
yes, give us some top tips.
He is with me always. I look for him. And when I look for him, can I tell you, as we begin this journey, it's amazing the amount of people who assume that the Lord is not pleased to see them or not pleased to be with them.
It's fascinating that to me.
Amazes me.
Whenever I say to people, it's very telling, and you can do this at home right now. When I say to people, where do you think Jesus is in the room? Get a wee bit of a feel for that. I either get, oh, he's not in the room.
Yeah.
He's watching me from another room.
Yeah, that's not
very
usual.
Very common. Or, oh, he's over there. And they're citing a place in the room that's the far side of the room. In other words, he's okay to be around. And I see him, I acknowledge him as King and Savior, but he's not up close. And then, of course, the question is, would it be okay, this is normally what I say, would it be okay if you just invited Jesus to come a little bit closer?
Yeah.
And then you get what you're saying.
Oh, I have prayed with people who, when I've said, where is the Lord? Where's Father God? Where's Jesus? Whoever, it's the Godhead.
Yeah.
They've said, he's on a beach in the south of France. Because that is the level of proximity that they're comfortable with.
Yes.
But can I tell you, Jesus will work with whatever level of proximity we are comfortable
with. Oh, he'll start wherever you are.
Because he is so kind and careful with us, but he is very intentional because he knows that he is the answer. He absolutely does.
Yes.
And but that whole understanding of that, not just the level of proximity, but his mood around us is also very telling because so many people always assume that he's there to correct them or that he's not happy with them. See, the thing is, he adores us. We are the reward of his suffering. He is always happy to see us. He's not always necessarily happy with what we're doing. That, let's be clear about that.
Yes.
But he's always happy to see us. And we all know that even from our upbringings, certainly when I was being brought up, a way of showing displeasure of behavior was the withdrawal of intimacy by a parent.
Yes.
You know, go sort yourself out.
And spouses then, do that.
Oh, the
married couples do that all the time. They
it's
withhold.
Punishing. It's punishing.
Uh-huh.
But that is not the Lord. That is not the way. He never, ever removes his proximity. And he's always pleased to see us. And that's a big revelation For people to have, because if he is the answer, he says he's the way, the truth and the life. Well, quite practically, if he's removed himself from me, how can I obtain and live in the way, the truth and the life if he's removed his presence now, or his proximity?
I would urge you guys to do this quickly. I remember having a client, oh, many years ago. It took me 18 months of sessions with a particular individual to even get them to sit at a table to talk to Jesus at the end of a table.
Yeah.
18 months. And that is that fear thing. You're not good. I don't want to attach to somebody who is not good. Mm. And it's that missing step of actually, he is in love with you.
Yeah, completely.
And the time that is wasted trying to find, you know, the trust levels. So we've come to the end of our time, but what, give us a top tip on working on secure attachment, and then we'll, you can pray for them.
Oh, well, I think we need to understand that Jesus is perfect attachment. He is the perfect solution to every ill that we have. So practically, we've got to talk to him about what that looks like and what he wants to do. And that doesn't come down to if you do this, that will happen. This is about relationship. Mm-hmm. So learning to be comfortable to sit with him and have the honest conversation with him. And every honest conversation you have with Jesus, you will become that bit closer, that more strongly attached. Got to remember, his attachment to us is perfect. Our problem is our attachment to him.
I would say as much as in my own journey more recently, allowing Jesus to attach himself. Now, I always, my preference is to live inside of him personal preference. So
yeah, you know, it's both and.
It's both and. So that is not my issue. But it's the, I had to go through a situation of attaching every cell in my body to him.
Very good.
Physically attached.
Yeah.
Because you, I mean, you and I have giggled over the years about how prophets can deflect because we can just go into visionary states like this.
I know.
But actually, and we live inside the name of God. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. We live inside of God.
Yeah.
So I don't find that proximity, but for those, a problem, but for those of you who are close, Jesus, can you attach yourself to my physical frame? Can you attach myself to my cellular structure? Because I need an exchange here of the trauma that is in my physical frame exchanged for my cells and my bones and my muscles to be attached to you. Because my spirit is quite contentedly attached and my mind is quite contentedly attached and my emotions are wholly dependent. And I would say that for the mature Christians, sometimes that I'm surprised by the number of Christians who hit their 50s and onwards and there's a leg issue, there's a knee issue, there's a limp issue. And I don't know why I'm particularly alert to this. I've just been with a group of people recently who I'm thinking, why do you all have, why, what's wrong with your hips or your legs or your knees or your ankles? What's going on? And I actually think it is a sign that their physical frame has not physically done secure attachment.
Yeah, that is really good. I've got a few tricks on that. In the and you said about consciously every cell of your body attaching to him. There are times when I do this lying down.
Yes.
Where I'm lying down and I watch myself lying on him.
Yeah.
And allowing my physical body to be literally infused into him.
Yeah.
Now that might sound a bit weird to some people. You'll all find your own way.
I think you're pressing into a couple of the John concepts, John 15 and John 17, whether it's the John 15, I am the vine, you are the branches, the grafted in verses, or the John 17 that we may be one.
Yes, but this for me feels very physical. Now, just to comment on, and this is a bit of a prophet thing, you know, we love the spirit and we love the spirit realm and we love to run there for experience and what he's saying, what he's doing, etc., etc. But we need to get comfortable being in God, in the Godhead, which of course part is spirit, Father, but Jesus is the one who will provoke our levels of intimacy in a very physical way.
Yes.
Because he is the legs, the hands, the feet, the body of God on earth. We have an understanding of that. So our relationship with Jesus, the man, the person who lived on this earth, now ascended, is incredibly important, and it will take us to levels of healing and wholeness. So in terms of our physical frame, we're spirit beings, but we do live in a body, and he wants our full attachment, spirit, soul, and body.
So that when you sit in that room, and this is almost a bonus conversation because we were going to go somewhere different, but I just asked you a question, it provoked obviously, it's brilliant, Louise. But it's that sense that I walk into a room, not just spiritually attached in that I am made one with him and or grafted into him, emotionally attached, but I am physically attached, and the physical presentation in a space. So you lose heart palpitations, you lose a sense of overwhelm in the physical being, because everything, body, mind and spirit, the tripart nature of who we are, where we are three parts, emotion, spirit and physical, or body, soul and spirit, that the three parts of us have come into secure attachment.
Yes, completely. Mm-hmm. So we will be more comfortable in our skin than we have ever been before.
Which was how we started this conversation.
how did we start?
Because I said to you, you know, what's the best bit about being Louise Reed? And you said, it's the security of being who I am.
Oh, yeah.
And that took us
to only because
secure of secure attachment.
Only because of knowing him.
Well, that was very helpful, Louise Reed. Thank you for answering that question so honestly, because you could have just told me that the best part about being you is living in my house.
Oh, yeah. Well, of course, that was the second thought I had.
I'm sure it was.
Yeah. But that would have taken us to a completely different conversation.
I'm glad you were honest. I can cope with that. Well, thank you, loyal listeners. I hope you're radically blessed by that. Join us. Make sure you share this, actually, because that's going to set a lot of people free, what we just talked about today. Share it with your best buddies, your pals, and we will see you very soon for another episode of What the Prophets Say. Hello, friends. I've got something exciting to share with you. If you want to reach out and grab hold of our hands so that we can take you to the next level, you need to download our Par TV app today. Go to partv.app, and we have there exclusively podcast Par resources that run alongside the podcast for more activation of the power of God in your life. Make sure that you've not missed this opportunity to dive deeper on the PAR TV.app.